So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
Going on as usual, and lots to discuss with one of our favorite people, Mr. Dale the Truth Gillespie. How are you, sir?
Greetings, my friend. How are you doing tonight?
You know, not too bad, man. I always get pumped up when I hear this new bumper music I'm playing. I love the game. I started doing this about 2 weeks ago, I guess. You know, these clowns in Louisville who keep getting caught are going around telling everybody, "Oh, I'm just playing games. I don't know what I'm talking about." So I just let them know that, you know, yeah, we might be playing a game, but you're going to suffer for it because I never lose. I am the game. So I love that song.
That's pretty good bumper music. I thought, hell, after a couple of years, I'm starting to wear off on Mr. Springsteen.
Well, it's always been one of my favorite, and I've been told by others, you know, that that's probably too hard of an intro. And I'm like, you know what? But it says what it's supposed to say. It's all in the message that we portray here. We want people to know what's going on. So I like the game.
Well, they think it's too hard of an intro, then they wouldn't have much to say about all the high numbers we're getting on my Thursday night show, would they?
That's right. You know, we attract nothing but the metalheads and non-voters on these shows. Anybody who believes that, I've got some swampland right in the middle of the Ohio River to sell you. So,
all right.
You know, it's fascinating. I tell you, you know, what's going on with you, man? Is everything going okay?
Oh, man, I'm just I feel like Mr. Martin because with my work schedule, I'm barely getting in here in time for the show. So you probably are up on the news of today more than I might be. I caught the news last night, but I don't know if anybody died or anything broke or exploded today. I might not know about it.
Well, you know, everybody dies every day, my friend. Something always breaks, something explodes. It's just a matter of what they allow us to hear.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though. We've got a little story going on that it's funny to me. What we're basically talking about is here we've got all of these killings going on. We've got all of these things going on. And I was a guest on somebody's radio show this morning. And, you know, one of the questions I asked was this. Does anybody know who Kermit Gosnell is?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew.
Really?
Nobody knew.
Wow.
Right. So the second question I asked was an easier one. I said, what was the name of the NBA player that just announced they were gay?
And everybody, I'm sure they all knew that.
Yeah. Everybody knew who Jason Collins was. So, you know, that was really interesting because, you know, this is what the local media does. They have made the gay agenda, the we're queer and we're here agenda, their sole focus in the news. If it's left-leaning liberal, we've got to go with it. If it's telling the truth about abortions, we can't do it because that's a liberal mindset. So Kermit Gosnell, of course, is the abortion doctor on trial for killing live babies, you know, upon delivery and claiming abortion. He's on trial for murder and all kinds of crazy stuff. But fascinatingly enough, for the last month or so that this murder trial has started and been taking place, you don't hear about it on mainstream. You have to get it from alternative media.
Yep.
And, you know, but the day that Jason Collins, an NBA player, goes out and says, "I'm queer, I'm queer, I'm queer, please accept me," the whole world just goes nuts. Oh, my God. a gay guy in the NBA. How can that be? I hate to tell people there's a lot more than one gay guy in the NBA, the NFL, the NCAA, insert sports here. It's not a national story. But it was very interesting to me that the media has decided to make it one, and that's just the most comical thing of all. If you need proof that the media has their own agenda, we have that, don't we?
Well, I was going to say, Ed, you've already broken two of your rules. You already mentioned the words gay and abortion.
Oh, no. Well, yeah,
that's okay, because you know, I heard little tidbits of you and Mr. Martin's show on Monday. I didn't get to hear a lot of last night's show, but I will say that, Mr. Springsteen, you redeemed yourself last night, because I heard you shedding the light on all the black-on-white crime that a lot of people don't want to talk about. So I was happy to hear that, especially after you and Mr. Martin had your Shelley Mae Love Fest on Monday night.
Well, you got to get credit where it's due. I know there's no love lost between you and Shelley Mae.
Because all the lying and cheating and stealing that she and her group did. But hey, if you and Mr. Martin want to pay big money to go to their event, I'd rather spend $100 on, you know, Campaign for Liberty or Take Back Kentucky or David Adams or somebody like that.
Listen, you didn't listen to as much of Monday's show as you think you did then.
No, I didn't listen to this little piece of it.
As I stated Monday night, I would never, ever pay a dime out of my pocket to go to events like this.
Okay,
I don't like going to these events because I don't feel comfortable being in a room full of liars and hypocrites.
Right.
I specifically said that Monday night. However,
no, I didn't get that part, then. I'm glad you're coming out.
In this particular case, I was given a free ticket and asked to attend, so I did so. What the heck? You know, it doesn't hurt to go out there. Plus the fact, you know, we do have this little thing called a media organization that I've got to try to fund from time to time. So realistically, I probably should be doing more of those events. It's a great networking opportunity, whether you agree with what they're doing or not. But somebody's got to pay the bills, because I flat out have been paying them for years, and I'm about out of money. And that's okay, because I'll keep doing what I do. But I
appreciate you telling us that you didn't waste your hard-earned money on the event. It kind of reminds me of last year when a politician who we've now helped to vote out of office, he offered me free tickets to the event last year, and I turned him down.
Well, you know, that's something that you should. That's something as a business owner. I have to take myself out.
Oh, yeah,
you
got to do what you
got to
do. And I know Mr. Martin's trying to get out there and run for political office, so I can't fault him.
Well, no, you know, you have to do what you got to do. But in this case, I was given a free ticket. I would have never bought one and never went accordingly, but I was given a free ticket, so I went. But at the same time, you know, you also have to give credit where it's due. Even though, you know, you don't have any love lost for Shelley Mae, and there's others that don't as well, this isn't a one-man show against Shelley Mae on your behalf. Let's give credit where it's due. There's a lot of people that feel that way. But Shelley did, in my opinion, do a good job bringing the event together. So when you talk about event planning and the things that were associated with that event, that's what I pointed out, that Shelley did a good job putting that event together. And rightfully so. You got to give credit where it's due.
Did they issue any kind of blanket apology to the Liberty Movement at this dinner?
Are you kidding me?
I'm guessing not. Okay.
That's interesting, though. I'll tell you what was interesting, though. We did have a lengthy discussion Monday night about Tom Massey and Jamie Comer.
Yep. Yeah, I love Thomas Massey.
Incredible guys. I love both of these guys. They really.
Oh yeah, I voted for Comer twice. Voted for him. I mean, I don't have any reservations telling people who I vote for. I'm not ashamed of any of my votes in the last 20 years or so. I voted for Comer twice. I voted for him in the primary and the general election. And I wish, if I was just about 2.5 or 3 miles further east, I would have been able to vote for Thomas Massey. So I love both those guys.
Well, I do too. And I tell you what, when you meet these guys in person and spend time with them in person, you come across, you come away feeling even better about what you felt about them before. I mean, these guys are very personal, very approachable, and they're going to do great things for us going forward. In this case, I had a good time there, but what was really interesting, you're talking about liberty and everything else. Did they apologize for hurting the Liberty Movement? I tell you what was really a great contrast. In my opinion, the worst speaker of the night was Mitch McConnell.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, it doesn't. Mitch really doesn't do a great job in public settings like that. Now, everybody says he does because, you know, he's a Senate minority leader. You want to get favor with Mitch, so he kisses butt. But Mitch didn't really do a great speech, in my opinion. You know, it was just one of those. I could have said the same things off the cuff that he said in a monologue tone.
Right.
And everybody would have said I sucked. I mean, it's just the way it is. But when it comes to liberty and the Tea Party and things like that, it was interesting because Mitch was talking about how poised the GOP is to take back the Senate and take back Kentucky and all these other things. because of the leadership of Rand Paul and Tom Massey. He tried to put himself, he tried to side himself with these two guys, and as we know, you know, Mitch behind the scenes can't stand them.
Oh no!
Yeah, Mitch,
I mean, he worked hard against both these guys in the primaries. We know his chosen golden child, Trey Grayson, didn't turn out too well, and he got his ass handed to him by Rand Paul. And we know that Mitch was working behind the scenes. I can't remember which of the two more quote unquote establishment candidates, but I know it was a very large primary consisting of many men and women running in the seat that Thomas Massey ultimately won, the former Jeff Davis seat. I know that Mitch was working behind the scenes against him, too. So it is funny to watch him come back around, because I think one of the best things I said out on the social networks, you remember, Ed, when Rand Paul gave his speech a few weeks back, and he said he was telling the truth about how he didn't have a lot of use for the political parties, and he talked about how the political parties were worn out, and he talked about how they need new leadership and so on. And I said, it's so funny. We said the same thing a year ago. We were called rebels and outcasts and pariahs. And he says it in the party who told us how horrible we were for saying it. Praise him for saying it. So there you go.
Well, sure, because the party got sat on their ass because Rand Paul has all of a sudden, against everything that they ever tried to do to shut him down, he has become the face and the voice of the conservatives, not the party. The conservatives and the libertarian-leaning conservatives, who are the true base of the GOP. So,
he's
appealing.
Of old, he said his quote was, "The GOP of old has grown stale and moss-covered and desperately needs new leadership." And he said he wasn't going to name any names, but, you know, he doesn't have to, because we can name the names on this show, right?
No, we never name names here, man. We
never.
We,
and then their initials are Mr. Cano and Shelley May, but you go ahead.
Yeah, no. We never name names here. We always play by the rules, under the radar, so that we get no negative repercussions for anything we possibly do here.
Right.
Because we're these good sheep to follow things. Anybody believes that, you got some serious problems. yeah, I heard that. But you know, it is interesting though, and you know, so we start looking at all of these different things that are going on. Now Rand Paul all of a sudden is the game, and quite frankly, deservedly so, in my opinion.
Yep.
I think he's done an excellent job up there. I think he is leading the way to taking us back to a constitutional government if he can get the backing of mainstream and start really pouring it on. But I think the conservative base, the real conservatives, and that's Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Green Party, whoever you identify as a party with, you know, I think the real conservatives – are looking to Rand Paul and really paying attention and seeing a shot at a better future. You know, so it was interesting when I saw McConnell try to kind of tie himself to those coattails.
Yep.
I was probably the only one in the room that was laughing, and the people at my table, when I heard that, the people at my table looked at me and started grinning, but they wouldn't laugh out loud. Me, I'm the guy that can't help it. If it's funny, I'm going to laugh out loud. I'm sorry.
Well, they flat out lie on their social networks, Ed. If you go in and look at the county party, and they'll say, oh, we've always been behind Rand Paul, and they even said that out on their social networks. And I'm sitting there like, how can they even type that out, whoever's responsible, whatever, you know, little machine they got, a little monkey in the behind the scenes typing everything out. How can they sit there and type that with a straight face, if you will, because they say, oh, we've always been behind Rand Paul. I guess once Charles Murray Grayson went up to Massachusetts and started endorsing Democrat political action committees, I guess they don't want to be reminded. And I will keep reminding people. I'll tell them on Thursday nights. I'll tell them Wednesday nights. Remember, the Kentucky Republican Party is in the shape it is because look at their Mount Rushmore. Yeah, Mitch McConnell's on Mount Rushmore, but look at the other three people who have been the face of the party in Kentucky. Trey Grayson, Richie Farmer, and you know the other one, don't you?
Oh, yeah, David Blackjack. Wood. Yep. You know, it's fascinating, too, that you bring those names up because I tell you, it's interesting because as much as you chastise, I mean, this is what partisanship does to you. The Republicans are trying to say that they've always been behind Rand and all this other stuff and making this that kumbaya love fest that I always tease about on this show. You know, but then you look at the Democrats on the flip side, and they knowingly allowed somebody like Jacob Conway, a felon thief, you know, and everything else, and Sean Riley and Kurt Morrison, they worked in conjunction with these guys to pull off this illegal tape thing. And for them to say that they didn't is just about as much of a lie as you can get. Because we've already outed pictures and showed the relationships that prove every bit of that at LouisvillePolitics.com. And, you know, we've got more coming, a whole lot more. So it's really interesting when we look at it in the big picture.
Yeah.
coming from. Let's go to the phones, man. I got some things I want to get into. Let's just play with the phones. Let's see what happens. I think this is our good friend. I think this is Paul over Stop It. Is this Paul?
This is Paul from Stop It.
How are you, sir?
Hi, guys.
Oh.
Hey, you guys are I understand your ranting and ravings and your level of frustration, but ultimately we're going to have to send a message to these folks. And, you know, send it Rand Paul, Tom Massey. That's a good start. But why don't we kind of follow the lead of – we talked about Iceland a little bit on this show.
Sure.
Did you all see the Communist Journal here in Louisville, Kentucky today, the print story about Scotland? Did you see that?
You know, I did not
I
see
I tried not to read
the
Courier at all costs. I'll defer to Ed Springs on this one.
Well, I don't look at the Communist Journal at all costs. You know, I know I was paying attention to Scotland the other day. Go ahead, Paul.
In the Communist Journal, they reported not one but two stories on their online edition that Scotland is going to have on the ballot next year a question. Should
mm-hmm.
Scotland be an independent country? They're looking to remove themselves from the United Kingdom.
And we need the applause track for that one.
Well,
now,
you know what? We've got it. It's interesting. That is the first time. That
there you go. Another
one
in Scotland.
This isn't the first time
now,
pop up.
Needless to say, this has caused the status quo, the ruling elites over in England, over in the United Kingdom, a great deal of consternation.
Mm-hmm.
They do not like that as a thought. Now, as a prop to the Scottish people, it isn't a slam dunk. They are very, very carefully looking at the pluses and the minuses of doing such, okay? But guys, look at the way they're doing it. They're putting the question out there to the entire country more than a year in advance so that they can flesh out the issues and explore the answers. It's not like our damn Congress who sits there and says, let's see what we can try to do as quickly as possible to pull the wool over everybody's eyes so that we don't have to catch any flack. So I applaud the Scots for doing this, doing such a major issue, first of all, as a referendum, and secondly, out in the open, and thirdly, with plenty of advanced discussion, unlike our Obama crap.
Well, one thing a lot of people don't know, this whole situation with Scotland is not a news story. So if you found it in the Courier, you know, congratulations. I don't go to them unless
I'm
have
to. I'm surprised
that
they covered I had to go look that up. I mean, it was a local person from the Courier that covered this, Paul. It wasn't a story they stole from Reuters or the AP.
Well, this story actually
website this morning.
I tell you, that must be how bad the Courier Journal is right now, then, because of recycling stories. Because this story actually, the story of Scotland trying to leave the UK actually became relevant at the end of January, 1st of February, somewhere in that time frame is when they started talking about this. They were going to hold a referendum to let them get out of all of this. And quite frankly, a lot of this has to do with the euro and things like that.
No, it does not have to do with the euro. The euro is a factor, but it's not the main factor.
No, I'm not saying it's the main factor. What I'm saying is part of it is the euro, because as we know, the euro is having a problem with valuation. There are a lot of nations that are part of the UK and the EU and all that stuff that are worrying right now for their financial stability. And, you know, of course, the euro is the main money magnet there, and everything revolves around money. So it's not the primary target. But
no,
they have
the
to
pound sterling. In the United Kingdom, the pound sterling. Britain mm-hmm. did not choose to go with the euro.
Yep.
Okay. So guys, the number one issue, and in fact, the number one piece of leverage that the Scots have over the entire of not only the United Kingdom, but also the entire of Europe. You want to guess where more than 60% of the oil reserves are in the United Kingdom, guys?
They're in Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
In Scotland!
Oh, yeah.
You betcha.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I hope they do it. I mean, I would say that there are very few entities in the United Kingdom or even in Europe, in the EU, that are worth anything, worth their weight in salt. And again, we've talked about Iceland, and you mentioned Scotland. Now I always have to throw out a tidbit. Ireland is basically telling the EU to get their crap together, because Ireland is telling them that they need to do something about not separating their bank debt from their sovereign debt. So Ireland has been kind of smacking the EU around verbally too. So I have to give credit to the two countries of my origin there, Ireland and Scotland.
And the oil was where I was trying to hit, because, you know, all oil and everything else is traded. You know, the dollar is recognized as the currency for all of that stuff. You know,
now
the
relevance,
euro,
guys. Let me tell you what the relevance is, as I see it. You guys have been praising Rand Paul and Massey, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, over in Scotland, somebody had to, in the ruling elite, had to decide enough's enough, and they decided to take this issue up. They actually have some folks in the Scottish Parliament that are actually running with this idea. So maybe, guys, maybe the Rand Pauls and Thomas Masseys of the world, maybe they're going to help us be able to position ourselves where we can start taking referendums on the ruling elite's way of doing what they do here in this country. That I would dearly love. And if it takes a major issue like, well, in the case of Scotland leaving the United Kingdom, what if we decided to realign the states of these United States? What if we decided to do that?
Well, I've said for a long time, the only hope for some of the states, some of the small U United, not large U, but some of the small U United States aren't worth saving. Other ones would love to do something similar to this. I've said for a long time, the only hope that you have are one and two. And number one is secession. And number two is basically getting away from anything when it comes to sovereignty and talking about how they don't have control over you. And my question for both you gentlemen is, if Scotland does this, is it going to be a peaceful secession, or are they going to come under attack from the United Kingdom and be fought down and beaten down, kind of like the dictator Abraham Lincoln did here 150 years ago?
Kind of like Northern Ireland, Gail.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The United Kingdom.
There's been a lot of movements where sovereignty or independence were serious alternatives to the status quo. You can look at, I mean, Scotland's tried this before. You can look at Catalonia. You can look at Quebec and Flanders. And they've been generally nonviolent political processes, whereas you look at other things like Kashmir and Chechnya and Kurdistan have been militant civil wars. So that's why it makes me wonder, and that's my big question, is can Scotland do this in peace, or will they come under physical violent attack for it?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think it'll be anything peaceful. The Brits have already started doing everything they can to keep them from doing this.
Sure.
Back in February, they actually started a public campaign, publishing a legal opinion, if you will, that's telling Scotland, if you leave, no problem. You're not going to be associated with the European Union or anybody else who basically props you up right now, is what they're trying to allude to. So I don't think it'll be peaceful. I think that it will. There's no way it can be. Not today.
Ed,
I just don't
Ed,
see that
Ed.
Being.
That's an empty threat. They control, I'm sorry, did I say 60% of the United Kingdom's oil? I think it's 60%, let me revise that. It's 60% of Europe's oil comes out of the North Sea that is controlled by Scotland. So I don't know about you guys, but that's a pretty good bargaining chip. What do you think?
I agree with the bargaining chip, and I agree that's the situation, and I agree that the cards basically favor Scotland. What I'm telling you is this, and the way I'm looking at this is, the United Kingdom is already setting the stage for the division of the people. When you get people divided against something, you know, that they strongly believe in or disagree with, then it's going to lead to violence. There's just nothing else to be said about it. So for me, by them already starting this far in advance, trying to create that division, as we do here in the U.S. with our media, you know, we've got people divided over stupid stuff today because the media wants it that way. It's that whole divide thing. So they're already planting the seeds to create a division, hoping and thinking that they're going to beat Scotland's vote. And if Scotland has the majority there like you think they do, and they've got all the power with the 60% oil and stuff in the North Sea, you know, I don't see where it can be a peaceful change. I really don't. Because I just think people today are too unaccustomed to any peaceful resolutions. We're not used to that.
Well, anytime you have independent movement, anytime you have an independence movement, I mean, it encourages government policies of decentralization. That can be beneficial to regional minorities. But Scotland, Look at the United Kingdom. It's pretty big as far as, you said, wealth. It's pretty big as far as geographical landmass. So a lot of times it's political violence. If you investigate the root cause, it's because they are afraid that somebody like Scotland is going to break away and basically keep those resources as part of an independent, sovereign Scotland.
So, guys, in the United States, where's the power concentrated? What part of the United States is the power concentrated?
What part of the United States is the power concentrated?
Yeah.
Well, our leaders are Washington, D.C.
Okay, now, but where's the power in general is located up and down the East Coast, primarily up in
New
England. Okay.
Okay.
So guys, if New England were to break away, can they break away and be self-sustaining?
No.
Here's where I'm going with that. There may be a lot of movers and shakers that live up in that part of the country. And there may be a lot of money, and they may control the money. And they may control a lot of commerce. Do you know what they don't control? They don't control the places where food is grown and harvested.
Oh, sure.
And that's why I keep asking this question about maybe there will be a realignment of the United States. Because if those people up north, if they want to eat coins and dollar bills that aren't worth a whole lot, they can. But, you know, we have the opportunity here in the heartland that they keep screwing over. We have the opportunity to have bread and cereal and other good dairy goods here in the middle part of the United States, what they call flyover country. So guys, while we may not have the oil riches of Scotland, we've got something that is more important to the people who've got the power as far as being able to live, and that's sustenance, food.
Yes, we do. However, do you honestly believe, now I've got to go down this road, and I apologize, but do you honestly believe that this whole separation or this division and everything else is realistic? And there's a reason I ask that. You talk about, you know, how the Midwest controls the food and things like that. You're right. But the Midwest is also controlled by the money that comes out of the East Coast power brokers that are paying these guys, like farmers being paid not to grow. These other things. So when you open that whole market up, these guys are used to a standard of living, all right? And the government, again, it's another government subsidy program. You know, when you really look at this in reality, you know, a bushel of corn would be worth about a tenth or 20th of what it is today if you didn't have price controls. The same thing with wheat and all those other things. So you're talking about losing value and having to work. I don't think anybody's got the guts to give up anything anymore. And I know that sounds cynical as hell.
History has many examples of people saying it's time to make a change. If using your analogy, Ed, the Roman Empire should still be in operation today. Yeah, it had a 400-year run, but it's not in operation today, is it? No.
Oh, no, but it's a different
No, it isn't. It's because it involves people. And that's what you're basically saying, is that the people who are deriving benefits today in the heartland won't want to lose them, and therefore they're not going to do anything to create change. And again, going back to Rand Paul and Tom Massey, these guys are at the leading edge of change, okay? Is it going to happen overnight? No, this kind of stuff never does. So you guys are right in giving them their props.
Well, I appreciate
history
that.
There's plenty of examples.
I think ultimately, there's going to be a lot of changes made. There's no doubt about that. Okay, and I think that we may be seeing the beginning stages, but I also believe that the changes that you're talking about stuff certainly won't happen in my lifetime. I'll never see them. I really believe that. There's just no way. The changes need to be made. There's no doubt about
the changes in the local Republican Party can be done in your lifetime. Dale's going to see
that. Exactly it. That's exactly it.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think I'll see it. I know a lot of the young people, I'm glad that Paul went there with that, because it does remind me of what I've said so many times, and it's going to sound crass and crude, but that's never stopped me, and that is a lot of the old dinosaurs who control the local and state Republican parties, they're not going to live forever. They're going to die one day, sooner than the younger kids. Once they're liberty-oriented. The older ones are not.
Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of them that are up there in age. We'll see. Let's go to the phones real quick before we take a break. You're on the air, 2984. What can we do for you?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, what's happening, Sean?
It's all good, man. I just want to comment that at one time I didn't believe that change was going to probably become relevant during my time. But I'm starting to believe that if we men that is about trying to affect change, stay on course, we might be able to see that change before our lifetime is over with, man. I'm starting to be a little hopeful, Ed, that maybe some change can come about, man.
Well, my thing is this. All change is gradual, and I think we are making changes on a daily basis. I know certainly what I've done is made a change in the way that a lot of these local politicians and people go about their business. So I know that I've been able to affect some small change, and I know that there's a hell of a lot of people out there. I'm just one small cog in that big wheel that's seeking change, and I know there's a hell of a lot of people out there that are doing the same thing in their own way. And what I'm saying is when we talk about, you know, the power base and all the other things, the major change, getting back to a real constitutional government, you know, doing things the way that our founders intended us to do it, you know, as you talk about men standing up and doing the right thing, you know, standing by their wives, their children, or going, you know, doing the things they're supposed to be doing. When we look at all of these things together, I think that change is so slow that I'm not going to see a significant change in my lifetime. Will I see change? Sure. But I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to be on a big scale that I can sit here and say, wow, look at this.
Well, I don't know, buddy. I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm already starting to see some change, you know, even a little pressure I'm applying and everything, trying to affect some change. You know, and any gradual change is better than the slippery slope that we're going down without anybody doing anything. So,
oh,
bro,
I'm totally
you know what I mean? You know,
oh,
hey,
totally
I'm just trying to.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure. I'm
yeah.
in total agreement with that. I'm just saying that the changes that Paul is talking about, although I agree with, they need to be done, and I think that ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, they may ultimately happen. They're just not going to happen in my lifetime. It just takes too long to get that kind of change. I think people are so divided today, so accustomed to having everybody take care of everything for them, that whole personal responsibility. Huh?
I think we have become more divided. I mean, you would have thought, you know, I didn't even vote for Obama, man. But, you know, once he got in and everything, and I told people, man, the second time, I didn't vote either for Obama because, you know, I still had to stay true to myself and what I believe in my, you know. But even still today, you know, I listen to people, and I was thinking maybe, hey, this guy might affect some change that's positive. Man, I'm here to say, man, that this country is more divided, more diverse, okay, separated than ever, more than ever before, than all the European males that we have had before President Obama got in there. I'm just keeping it real, man. It's just from my observations and tenor. But here is what is different, though. The conversation of, and we men are talking about it, and we're engaging more than we ever had before. But nevertheless, I still think we're still divided, more divided than before President Obama became and got in the White House. That's just fine.
Well, I think Obama has led us to more division than I've ever seen in this country in my life. And ultimately, I think, you know, when you're a leader, you lead by example. That's the best leader in the world. And the only thing I'm learning from Obama as a leader is you have to lie about everything. You can't take responsibility for anything, and you have to deflect everything and let somebody else talk about it because you don't know what you're doing. Obama is clearly in over his head, and I don't say that lightly. You know, I mean, let's look at this. I mean, Obama even went out. You know, today, for example, we had three more suspects arrested in Boston that are linked to the Boston bombings. Now, these are the same people a week and a half ago that the administration knew about, that we were already reporting about, that were friends of thing number two, is what I call Dokart. So they were friends of thing number two. They were roommates in college, all this other stuff. We knew they were linked in a week and a half ago. We knew they were part of the scheme. But what did they do? The Obama administration went out, says no big deal. They didn't have nothing to do with it. They had mainstream media that they pay. We've got testimony from a former CNN, three-time Emmy Award-winning reporter with CNN, that says that CNN gets paid by the administration to alter stories. We have her testimony. This is a credible person, not some whack job on a conspiracy theory. So we've got mainstream media out there dodging and deflecting all this, and then today they say, well, guess what? These three were involved. Okay, so we've got another lie from the administration. And that's just a beginning. That's just a beginning. We talk about these new suspects here. We talk about Fast and Furious. The Saudis came through. We now have a report out of the UK that Saudis told America last year, the Department of Homeland Security, that this guy, thing number one, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, was a terrorist, was a threat, and was planning an attack in the U.S. The Department of Homeland Security has been telling us forever they didn't know anything about it. We were lying. You couple that with Benghazi, all the lies told by Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, we now have testimony from credible people that were involved in this situation that says that we could have went there and taken care of business and saved these lives, but the administration chose not to, and that Hillary Clinton said no. So they sacrificed
American
lives.
Speaking of Hillary, hold up, man. Since you brought up Hillary Clinton, man, might as well just go ahead. I'm a retired military person, man. And I have never in my lifetime seen a person who was in leadership position when a failed mission goes sour and our own people die, okay, in an incident and everything. And you were the head of that operation, and you get the opportunity to escape out, okay, and not held accountable for your position and your I am just out livid at what I've seen in that move, man. Talking about some smooth operation going on, boy.
But that's
that
the thing, though.
That's the deal I've ever seen happen in my lifetime concerning loss of life that we had something to do with, and it is clear that someone from our leadership has something to do with it and loss of life of our own people. Let me tell you something. That's the smoothest deal I've ever seen before. Boy.
But you know what we do know? You know what we do know, thanks to mainstream media? We don't know about Kermit Gosnell. We don't know the truth about Benghazi. We don't know the truth about Fast and Furious. Well, we know the truth, but we can't get anybody to do anything about it. You know, we know all the failures of the Barack Obama administration, but nobody will report on it. The mainstream media will not hold him to the same standard that they held a George Bush accountable to. All right? We know all of these things aren't being done, but the one thing we're damn sure of, the one thing we know for sure beyond any reasonable doubt and in all certainty is that Jason Collins, an NBA player, is gay, and he announced it on Monday.
I don't really care about that.
That is so amazing. Yeah, we are sure of that. My God, it's been all over. Hey, here's another thing we know, too, since you don't – man, don't get me robbed up, man. After talking to Dennis Muhammad, man, he called me, man. He was fired up, man. He was just fired up. But let's also put this on the table. One thing we also know about Jason Collins and everything, that when you mention the word gay, lesbian or anything, the established religious leaders that seem to be able to be the carrier of the truth about what God says are silent. I mean, we talking about crickets, man. We ain't heard not one reputable religious leader stand up and say, hey, listen, yeah, okay, yes, he came out, but still, understand, there's consequences for the choices and the thing that you make. It is still that. I don't care if every state in America approved gay marriages and everything. It still don't make it right, okay? And
I totally agree.
Michonne said it, and guess what? I get criticized and picked on. Oh, you don't know. You don't have no love. Woo, 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 woo. Man, please, where is our so-called religious leaders to stand up and say, hey, yeah, we could give them props for coming out. All right, good, bro. Okay, do what you do. You know, I pick my nose in private. I eat my nails in private. Should I come out on that, too?
Well, I tell you what happens in Louisville politics when you mention the word gay. Jerry Abramson, Jeff Noble, Brent Ackerson, Steve Beshear, Bruce Ewing, Steve Maugrey, Marvin Holdhauser, and I can go on down a list of a whole bunch of other ones. Their eyes get all glazed over. They get this little smile on their face and say, please, God, tell me these boys are under 18. That's what they fucking do. But that's beside the point.
Well, Dale, I'm going to jump in here. I will say this. I don't care who's gay and who's not gay, but I thought one thing that was very interesting, we know that ABC – /Disney/ESPN. We know that's a big media conglomerate. It's one of the three or four companies that own about 80-90% of the media of the world, and we saw that ABC/ESPN stood by some hack reporter who ripped on Jason Collins. So I thought that was interesting that the media came out on the side against the gay, openly gay athlete. I thought that was kind of interesting because some moron named Chris Broussard on the NBA Reporter, like I give a damn about the NBA anyway, but some dumbass reporter named Chris Broussard on ESPN started acting like he was preaching in church on ESPN, and they stood by him against the gay athlete. So I thought that was kind of eye-opening.
But I will.
Did you hear about Miami Dolphins receiver Mike Wallace?
No.
Miami Dolphins receiver Mike Wallace tweeted after this came out, and he's being accused of, and being chastised for being intolerant and all of this stuff for nothing because a guy put his opinion out there. And he tweeted that all these beautiful women in the world and guys want to mess with other guys, and he put the acronym SMH for shaking my head. He had to delete the tweet because he was getting all the backlash. Of course, it's still on the Internet because everything stays on the Internet once you push it there. So then he had to retweet and say, I'm not bashing anybody. I don't have anything against anyone. I just don't understand it.
But the bigger he wasn't doing it in the workplace. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Well, and the Miami Dolphins got on him. The Miami Dolphins are out there doing damage.
Oh, my God.
Like, you are kidding me.
We got to walk around on potato chips, okay? You can't say anything about anything when it comes to, I have a different opinion about that. Oh, my God, if you speak anything against it, you are just totally, you demon you hater. Ooh-hoo, you hate all people.
That's apparently not the way, AB, you had to calm down and take your meds. That's apparently not the way the ABC feels about it, because ABC, ESPN, Disney, and that big conglomerate, they stood by their reporter, and I'll tell you why.
Well,
I don't have any here. I'm a co-host on the show.
And
I'll tell you why they stood by him, because the guy saying it was black himself. If the guy saying it was white, he'd been had his ass out the door, like when they kicked Rush Limbaugh off ESPN. That's just the truth.
That's
wow.
Actually,
like,
I think that's true, because that creates that other dynamic.
ESPN hates anything related to white. It's that simple. And when's the last time you saw a hockey game on ESPN? They won't run it.
Well, that's true. Let's go to the phones. I got another caller I got to get in here. I think this is our good friend Mayo.
Oh, that it is. Ed, how y'all doing tonight?
I'm awesome, man.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Guessing game. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, good. I just enjoy what everybody's saying, but I didn't know. I mean, something that I hadn't heard of. I've heard about, well, there's now possibly more than 6 whistleblowers in Benghazi asking for whistleblower protection between CIA, FBI, and I think one from NSA. I'm not sure.
Yes.
But did you know there was actually evacuees from Benghazi still in Germany the government hadn't let come home?
Yes.
Wow. I hadn't heard anything of that.
It's totally amazing what's really going on that we don't know about. And this is because of the grand cover-up by mainstream media. I mean, it really is. You know, we have to go to sources like the UK to get real answers. We found out about Saudi Arabia warning the United States, and, of course, DHS and everybody else is going crazy now trying to deny it. But they warned the U.S. last year and gave the bomber's name, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, they gave his name to them as the person they needed to watch. This is in conjunction with the Russians, who they're trying to blame as not sharing enough information with them. All right, we've got the Russians, the Saudis. They gave the guy's name, told him what he was doing. Didn't tell him where because nobody knew. But they told him what he was doing, what he was involved with, gave him everything they needed to do their job. And Janet Napolitano put her nose up in the air and hid from it. We know that mainstream media, including CNN, is paid by the Obama administration to put out false news and fake stories. We know this. They are paid to delete unfriendly stories that are going to make Obama look bad. Now, this is not me. This is coming from Amber Lyon, a 3-time Emmy-winning investigative journalist and photographer that used to work there. She left because of this stuff. So this is why you don't hear about what's going on in Germany. This is why we have to go to alternative places like the United Kingdom to get news in some sense or another. Because we can't get the truth here. It's all by design.
Oh, some of the best places that I go, some of the best media sources that I go to are definitely outside of this country. I had to go over to Europe to get good media sometimes that would cover what's going on here. I'd go over to Russia Today or RT, as they're better known, and you go over to RT or you go read The Economist and read some of the stuff that goes on in some of the tabloids in the United Kingdom. I get a lot more news about what's going on in the U.S. than I will get from the mainstream press.
Sure. What do you think's going to happen to the world? What do you think's going to happen to the world when you get a Muslim Islamic cleric getting caught in a gay porno?
I don't know.
When we hear about it, nobody knows. I mean, that's how pathetic it is here with our media. This has never been what it's supposed to be. I mean, thank God they're doing what they do. Because of them, I'm very successful at what I do. Not making all money, but you would be amazed at the thousands of people who pay attention to everything we do at Louisville Politics and right here. So, you know, we've got to get these stories out. That's our job. Somebody has to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Because mainstream media won't.
Yeah.
Our mainstream media, as long as it involves a white guy doing something wrong, it's going to hit the news. If it involves a gay person being portrayed in a positive light, it's going to hit the news. Abortion is good. It's not murder, even though we've got these abortion doctors going to trial for murdering live babies. It's all the stuff that they hide. Explain to me why Barack Obama is not being impeached as we speak. The lies about the Fast and Furious, the lies about Benghazi, the lies about the Boston bombings already, the Department of Homeland Security cover-ups, everything in the world that is going on wrong in this country are directly linked to Barack Obama, Valerie Jarrett, and Eric Holder, all of whom have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and all the other things. Now, if we're going down this road, why are we not holding our Congress accountable for not pulling the impeachment card and starting the process? That's my problem.
Well, we could have impeached. We could have impeached the last four or five presidents. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, Ed, because it does remind me of something else that I wanted to bring to you and kind of retort what you said. Bill Clinton was not impeached over oral sex. You know that. You know he was impeached over lying under oath and over giving away the secrets to the Chinese.
He was impeached for perjury, but he lied about getting a blowjob.
But
that's why it worked that way.
And it was because there were enough Republicans in the House. I think you talked about this a little bit. There was enough Republicans in the House to impeach him. But like you said, the Senate, they didn't even come anywhere near the vote to remove him. And that's why they're not going to impeach President Obama, because they look out for each other. Remember, a lot of people who were big fans of Obama and they were so anti-Bush, anti-George W. Bush, they wanted Obama, when taking office, to go after Bush. And you see, at the moment a new president comes in, it's like he forgives everything the guy he just slammed for months and months for doing. I mean,
but here's
really
the deal.
Yeah, if he really thought his predecessor was so great, he would try to bring him up on charges. You could say that about Bush for Clinton or Obama for Bush. They always look out for each other.
Well, here's the deal, though, and this is the thing for me. The Republican House was chastised for going after Clinton in the first place, and they were chastised even worse because all of the things they tried to glue to Bill Clinton came down to the only thing they could nail him for was lying about a blowjob. That was it. And in the grand scheme of things, we should have never spent money chasing a president for getting a blowjob. I'm sorry.
Well,
as a married man, you're going to lie about that. That is normal.
They knew they could go after him for him giving away the nuclear secrets to the Chinese, but they knew they couldn't go after him for that because they knew they were all part of the plan, too. So that's what I'm talking about. They're not going to go after another president. That's the uniparty on the national level. You know, Reagan didn't even pursue any of the best. Well, I mean, Carter was just kind of in his own way, and we were just glad to get him out of the way. It was like get him over in the corner somewhere out of the way. But, you know, when Clinton came in, he always told you about all this horrible stuff Bush did, and his followers wanted him to go after Bush for some kind of convictions. It never happened. And then came George W. He never went after Clinton, and Obama never went after Bush because they look out for each other. They're all involved.
But here's what I'm getting at, though, Dale. Here's what I'm getting at, though. You're absolutely right about that, 100%. I won't disagree with you at all, but I agree with you. But what we've got here is we've got a serious situation that involves national security, that involves giving illegal guns to criminals.
Yep.
You know, you're arming criminals intentionally so. You've got all of these different things. You're no longer talking about an extramarital affair that somebody's going to lie about.
Right.
You know, it's normal for a married man to lie about something like that. You know, you're talking about serious things that have serious national consequences that are costing American lives overseas. We're in Afghanistan, Benghazi, Iraq, all these other places. So here's my thing. The Republicans lost all credibility going after Bill Clinton because of the Monica Lewinsky stuff, because that's all they could get him with. They could regain a hell of a lot of that credibility. Whether the Senate would back them or not is irrelevant. They need to start the impeachment hearings, put this stuff out there publicly, and impeach Obama. If he doesn't lose his job because the Senate Democrats don't have the balls to follow through with a real situation, then we work to replace those Senate Democrats in the next election. But we've got to get this process started. It's the only way we're going to try to get any accountability or even pretend that we're getting accountability. We can't have these guys acting like this. It drives me nuts.
Well, when you bring up by holding the politicians, the elected politicians responsible, that brings me to the issue. It's so frustrating, and I hear a lot of people who I agree with on 90% of things, but I hear a lot of people talking about how we need to get term limits. And I've always said term limits are unconstitutional, and more than anything, more important than even their constitutionality, are their logical ability to happen. If you cannot get the people to go out to the polls to vote out the incumbents, then how are you going to get the incumbents to agree to kick themselves out?
Well, I agree with you. And ultimately,
and
I think that's what happens.
All we need term limits. And look at every year, every 2 years, we hate the job Congress is doing. And the worst year ever for incumbents, I think, was if you go back to 94 and or 2004 and or 2004, and they still get a number of 85 to 90% of incumbents get reelected. So that's the big question I have. How in the world are you going to get the corrupt, lying whores that we call quote unquote political leaders to vote to kick themselves out when you won't even go out, people, and get off your asses and vote them out yourselves?
I'm total agreement with you. Mayo, go ahead. Mayo.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I guess I'll put him back in the queue. He dropped. Paul's back with us. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, listen, part of the term limit issue, and I've mentioned this before, but I want to mention it again, that has to do, at least in Kentucky, with the straight party voting option on the general election ballot. That
right.
is a lazy person's yep. way to take care of electing people. It's lazy.
Yep.
And it is pro-party. It is pro-Democrat, pro-Republican, since they're the two dominant parties. And it's almost impossible to beat that when you're a challenger from something from, say, the Libertarians. It's almost impossible to beat that straight party voting. Now, Kentucky, I think it's somewhere between 13 and 17 other states that allow straight party voting. That's part of the problem. And we need to get away from that. We need to get back to the way voting used to be when voting first started. One vote, one person at a time. Okay?
Oh, I totally agree with you.
Now,
I agree
with them.
That's part of the problem. But the other part that is frustrating both you guys is today's people are not like the folks of old
nope.
who really took a great deal of pride in learning about candidates and issues and then made what they considered to be informed choices because they knew that their choice was going to impact them somehow, some way, depending on who got in office. Today, though, we have nothing more than a massive flock of sheeple. And we can't rely on the sheeple making well-considered, fully informed choices because they're lazy. And that's part of the reason we have the straight party balloting. So guys, even if we got rid of the straight party balloting, we still got the sheeple issue. And, again, I'm going to go back to the leaders of some type of maybe a mini-revolution, and that's Rand Paul and Tom Massey. They are in the vanguard, as it is said. They're in the vanguard of that. So we just got to see how this plays out, you know?
Well, I've talked to our good friend Michael Lewis of Independent Kentucky about this a lot. And you think about this, look at Kentucky. If we wanted to get something as seemingly simple to us guys here as getting rid of the straight party voting, what do you have to do to get it done? You had to get it through the 138 elected whores called politicians in Kentucky, of which 137 are Republicans or Democrats.
There's no doubt about that. Let's go back.
How are you going to get 137 Republicans, Democrats, and one independent to vote to not have that lazy-ass straight party voting?
We've got Mayo back with us. Go ahead, Mayo.
Earlier when you were describing the gay Muslim cleric pedophile, I thought you were talking about a new mayoral candidate here in Louisville there for a second.
Mayo.
But one thing I've noticed, every, you know, Obama, the deal I was saying earlier, and even Kerry's picked up on it. I don't know if it's going to be the new catchphrase, but no notion at this time. You know, they have, that's their way of saying, you know, deflecting the questions from the press.
Sure.
About Benghazi.
Sure.
And then for on what Paul had said earlier, you know, about the Romans, I mean, yes, they lasted 400 years, and due to history, that's why Franklin said what he said, because of a study of history. If the people of this nation ever find that they can vote themselves money, it will be the end of this great republic.
You got
it. What has happened in just the last 20 years, you know, the Obama phone, you know, the difference in between the old dole and the new welfare, the Democrats started to take fire, things of that nature. I mean, the Romans tried pleasing the mob mentality of the people, and, you know, they rotted from the inside out, and we're doing the same here thing here. And, you know, part of that problem also is, you know, PC, political correctness, people not speaking the truth, the opposite of what Ed does every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, speaks the truth and lets us know how it is.
Well, that's what we do. Dale does a great job of that on Thursday nights.
Yeah, the ratings show that.
Yeah, but that's, you know, but that's exactly it, because and that's what's puzzling me right now. You know, when I talk about all the fallacies of Barack Obama, you know, we talk about leadership. We spend an awful lot of time talking about personal responsibility. We talk about the Midwest being able to feed themselves earlier. But it all comes back to the same line. Leaders lead by example. This president has not accepted any responsibility for anything. He has put bumbling idiots in charge. Every time I hear Hillary Clinton's name when it comes to Benghazi, I shudder, because I still remember the daggone Democratic primary between her and Barack Obama, and she put out this great commercial that said, "Who do you want answering the phone at 3 a.m.? I say none of the above. I mean, that's exactly what we've got. We've got all these lies. We've got all these deceptions. We've got all these wars based on lies and deceptions. We've got nobody taking responsibility for it, and we're killing Americans across the rivers or the seas, whatever. So we've got to start getting into this. Why is this House, this Republican House, not doing their job? Why are they not doing their job and voting for articles of impeachment? Put it out there. Take it to the American people. Mainstream cannot ignore that. They can spin it, but they can't ignore it. And that will engage more of these people that won't get off their asses and still on the fence, in my opinion anyway. So how do we get there, Dale? What do we do?
Well, we definitely got to get more elected leaders. Rand Paul said himself, when people ask what can we do to help, he said send more people up here like me. And to use that example of who's going to answer the phone at 2 or 3 a.m. in the White House, I mean, we've seen what we've gotten here. You go back to Bill Clinton at 2 or 3 in the morning, he's too busy getting oral sex from a fat intern. You know, at 2 or 3 in the morning, George W. Bush was too busy in bed with the Saudi Arabians, and now we see Obama's busy at 2 or 3 in the morning getting oral sex from a man. So, you know, what are you going to do?
I know. I didn't know Larry Sinclair, you know, or Kai Penn had a backdoor pass to the White House, but I believe they do.
It's backdoor in more ways than one, my friend.
All pun intended. You know, but it's, you know, we've got to look at this. We've got all of these examples of failed leadership, and nobody is holding this president or his administration accountable. Valerie Jarrett answers the phone at 3 a.m., and the first thing she does is call the Muslim Brotherhood and say, "Hey, what do you want to do about this?" That's the reality. Barack Obama is nothing but a figurehead who doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. He's supposed to sit there and smile and say the world's rosy while these other people are running this country right into the ground, intentionally so. Paul, am I wrong about this personal responsibility mindset or what? What is going on here?
With Obama? No,
yes.
Obama, yeah, Obama, as I see it, and I've heard a couple of other national musers postulate this situation. Obama has clearly never assumed the mantle of leadership. His entire strategy seems to be sitting in the grandstand along with the rest of us, cheering us when we do well and commiserating with us when things are going bad, and fussing about all those Washingtonians that aren't paying attention to the people in the grandstands. Well, my God, he's one of them.
Right.
Why is he in the grandstand? And the answer is, it's by design, number one. And number two, you and Dale complain about the mainstream media giving this guy a pass. He's guilty as charged. He's getting a pass because he is in the grandstand. So, again, Obama has never exhibited any leadership in his entire life.
Oh, I agree. You can go back to Acorn and everything else. I mean, this guy has never been nothing but a figurehead. He's a manipulated robot. They tell him what to do. They pull a string like a puppet, and he does it. It's just amazing to me. Man, what else is amazing to me is how the time has rapidly flown by. For you guys who really look forward to the half-hour break every night, I don't think there's many of you, but we blew right through it tonight. I didn't want to stop for it. You know, thank you so much for the calls. You know, Mike Mayo, Paul, thank you so much. Dale, final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts is you got to stop electing the same people who give you the same thing over and over. Insanity is defined as you doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, and that's all that people elect to either state legislature, governor's mansion, U.S. House, U.S. Senate, or president. And 99% of the time, Democrats and Republicans. And Jesse Ventura said, if you want to change it, you got to stop electing Republicans and Democrats. They look at the game, because we opened the show with a song called The Game. They look at this as a game, because in front of the TV, they're just like professional wrestling. They want you to think that we see these guys as the bad guys, and we see ourselves as the good guys. And the bottom line is they're all pulling a game on you, because they're not looking out for you. They're looking out for their bottom line. You got to stand up to both heads of the same party and tell them death to the New World Order.
Well, there you go, and I agree totally. We have got to do something different in this country. What we're doing clearly is not working in recent years. And I'm not blaming Barack Obama. Barack Obama just took the graft, greed, corruption, and everything else to the next level, folks. He didn't start this game. He's just worked his butt off to perfect it. But the game is a very serious one and a very important one. The game today is how to destroy America from within. And that's where our leadership is failing to do their job. We have got to stand up. We have got to say no more. Mainstream media is not going to do it. But if mainstream media was doing their job, you wouldn't have alternative media. And alternative media, online media, the things that we do every day at LouisvillePolitics.com and right here at the NVM Radio Network, is where it's all at. This is where people are going for their news now. So the grassroots is catching on. They're doing their job, but it's nowhere near enough. Write your Congress leaders, write your representatives in the House, and ask them why they are not voting for articles of impeachment against President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. Yes, you have to include him. He's part of all of this. Why are they not doing their job? Use Fast and Furious, Benghazi, use the Boston bombings, a whole host of anything you want to use. We have all kinds of evidence there. Ask them why they're not doing their job and going ahead and starting articles of impeachment to get accountability. And while you're at it, write to every one of your congressmen and tell them to disband the Department of Homeland Security. It is the biggest farce of taking our tax dollars to become nothing more than a mafia crime protection racket, because that's what the DHS is. It is not about America. It's not about Homeland Security. It's about destroying America and taking citizens out. We have got to get serious about what we're doing in this country. Until we do, we're stuck with what we got. I'm not happy with it. And I don't think anybody that listens to this show or follows any of us on any other ventures are happy with it either. Dale, anything for tomorrow night?
Yeah, we got a couple of things that we want to talk about, and one kind of as not enlightening, but just kind of letting people know what's going on. We know that the story's coming out, the rumors of where the Bilderberg Group is going to meet next month. They're going to have their normal global meeting this year in the United Kingdom. And on a sad note, we're also going to pay homage to a journalist who for 35 plus years made it his job to tell the truth and out the globalists and the New World Order, and fortunately he passed away this weekend. That was Big Jim Tucker. James P. Tucker Jr. was a great journalist who was one of the first ones to talk about the Bilderberg Group, and everyone thought it was like talking about UFOs, and now you go out and do a search, and there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of links and news stories about the Bilderberg, and Jim Tucker was talking about Bilderberg when nobody else was, so we're going to kind of pay honor to Big Jim Tucker tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm actually glad to hear that, because Tucker was among the first, if not the first, to start outing this shadow government, if you will, of which the Bilderberg Group is a part of. you know, so I'm glad to hear that. Okay, folks, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Dale the Truth will be here with his own brand, unique brand of news with TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. And don't forget our good friend Kim Moman at Liberty Unbridled Sunday night at 7. That's it for us tonight. We appreciate so much you guys listening in. Don't forget to check out LouisvillePolitics.com for all the latest. And while you're there, join the RSS feed. That way it gets delivered right to your inbox and you don't have to worry about even searching for us anymore. That's it. Y'all have a great night. Thank you so much.